neighbors.
Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland,
New York,
New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa, Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Great Lake Tahoe,
Old Key West,
Riviera,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to
my
Hello and welcome to DVC Newscast. This is Shannon and this is episode 143 and I'm joined today by Pete.
Hey Shannon, yeah, it's just been the two of us for a while here, but that's all right. We got a lot to talk about. This is a lot of news dropping this month so far.
Yeah, a lot of news, and we're actually having, you know, back-to-back episodes from week to week, which is great. And only three news stories this week, but two of them are, I think one of them is really big, and I think that's where we're going to spend a lot of time. And then we'll probably spend a lot of time on the second story. But before we get into our news stories for this week, I did want to give a shout out to our sponsor, which is DVC Rental Store. So if you are looking to maybe give DVC a try, a really great way to do that is to rent points. And a really great way to do that is through DVC Rental Store. Now, you can go to their website. They have some pre-booked vacations, and you can look and see if those align with your dates. And if not, you can also send them your dates for a request, and they will tell you how to go about renting. But it's a really great way to try out DVC for the first time. And then maybe if you are an owner and just can't make it to Disney World or Disneyland this year, you can rent out your points. It's a really great option as well. So definitely hit up our friends at DVC Rental Store.
Yeah, and let's also mention that they have an exchange program too, where you can take your points and convert them to, say, a Universal hotel or a cruise. So you can get money for your points that are much better value than using your points for a cruise, and then exchange those for a cruise. Or also, you know, with Epic Universe opening up next year, maybe people are going to want to be trying out Universal instead of Disney.
Yeah,
that's sacrilegious to say.
Well, I'm actually looking to book a trip again. We went Labor Day weekend last year, and I think we're looking to do the same because now Ryder is tall enough for VelociCoaster, even though I don't think I'm ready for him to ride that. We're looking at doing another quick trip to Universal, and we're actually looking into getting annual passes because I think we're going to let our Disney annual passes lapse for a little bit and take a little bit of a break. If I am thinking about letting our Disney annual passes lapse and going to Universal, that's telling. I think that's very telling. So we'll get into our first news story. And if you are listening to this podcast, I'm pretty sure you know what is going on. And that is that Genie Plus is going to be no longer. It is being replaced with Lightning Lane MultiPass. On June 25th, Disney announced final plans to make changes to Genie Plus. This was teased as long ago as last summer, with the original plan to occur shortly after the new year. It is thought that the delays in modifying the DAS process was the reason that it took so long. So keeping it simple, Genie Plus will be no more as of July 24th, which unfortunately for me is the week that we will be there. It's all changing on a Wednesday, July 24th. And there will now be two Lightning Lane systems. I do like this better. So there's Lightning Lane MultiPass, which is what we know as Genie Plus right now. And then there's Lightning Lane Single Pass, which is the former individual Lightning Lane. I do like the names. What do you think about the name change?
Well, like many other people, first thing I thought of was there's a meme from the movie The Fifth Element where they use a bus pass called the MultiPass.
Lilo Dallas MultiPass.
So the fans of the movie are all like, MultiPass.
MultiPass.
But I do think they're good names, actually. I think being MultiPass and Single Pass, I know that they certainly don't want to go back to Fast Pass, so I understand why.
I did make a video on YouTube, so I walked through everything. Fast Pass was free, so I think that there's no way that they could go back to Fast Pass because Fast Pass was a free product. You just can't. You have to create a name that, you know. So I do like this name change. I think it's appropriate. Both products will be able to be booked in advance. So Disney Resort guests will be able to book starting 7 days from the first day of their trip, and then will be able to book up to 14 days forward from that point. Non-resort guests will be able to book 3 days in advance of their ticket dates. And then Lightning Lane Single Pass will not change from what it already is. One or two rides at each resort will fall under there. So there's five total with an individual charge for that ride and the ability to pre-choose a time to ride. It is expected that the current rides under this system will also remain the same. And I actually have a list on my YouTube channel. So on that video, or I have a blog, shannonford.com, and you can kind of go there. I have the list of all the attractions. Multipass will basically return to the old FastPass Plus system with the ability to book three ride reservations in advance for each day you purchase the product for a single park. Guests will be able to pick from an available return times for the rides and will book 1 hour return window. The initial bookings will have tier levels with the exception of Animal Kingdom, which is the only park that doesn't have tier levels, with one tier one ride and then two tier two rides selected each day. Details of what rides fall under which tiers are listed on the Disney website. And again, I do have a list on my blog as well. The one major difference between FastPass Plus, besides the cost, is that once you use one of your booked Lightning Lanes, you can start booking an additional ride. So you can essentially hold three. That's what it sounds like. You can hold three right at any time. Additional rides appear to have no tier restrictions and are also eligible to book at a different park. This is where I got confused, because it does state that there are pricing. So you have pricing change it. The pricing is going to be dependent on the day as well as which park you choose.
Right.
But if you can park hop, and let's say Animal Kingdom is usually the cheapest. When I went, Magic Kingdom and the park hopper one was $29. Animal Kingdom was $18.
Right.
So if you book the $18 one, like let's say it's the same pricing and then, but you can then park hop. That's where I'm really confused. Like, is there going to be an option?
My guess, and because it's what they were doing, I don't know if they're still doing it, but what they were doing it is if you bought an individual one that was cheaper than the hopper price, if you tried to hop, you then had to pay the difference. So I assume that's what they're going to do.
Okay. Okay.
Like day of, you would pay the difference if you chose. But those first three have to be in the same park.
Those first three have to be used in the same park. But once you use the first one, you can book at any park. But
then and you can book at any park, yes.
And then I think you could modify the other two. I mean, we don't know yet, but I think that's...
Yeah, I mean, we don't know if you can modify the other two. I mean, you also mentioned you can hold three at a time, but we don't know what... It said after you use the first one, you can book another one. But then how does booking after that go? Because historically it's always been you can book another one every 2 hours or when you use one.
My understanding, there was a seminar for travel agents, and what I've heard from other travel agents is that when you use one, you can then book another one. When you use one, you can book another one, meaning that you can hold three at any time. There's no like 2 hour window anymore.
Oh, that kind of stinks.
I mean, we sacked. I mean, we used Genie Plus to our advantage. The first couple times that I used Genie Plus, I think it was around, was it maybe the 50th anniversary? I don't remember. When we first started using it, we learned quickly that going early in the morning was no longer an advantage with Genie Plus. Like you, right, because you couldn't pick the time. Sometimes you would get a time and it was late in the afternoon and you're there. It really was. So what we did is we just kind of slept in. Well, everybody else slept in. I was having to get up at 7. And then we enjoyed the resort, went to community hall, went to the pool, did whatever we did, and then would get to the park. Sometimes, like with Magic Kingdom, sometimes we were getting there at 4, you know, 5 or 6 o'clock, because if the park is closing at 11 because of the deluxe extra magic hours, you know, we were getting there like sometimes like 5 o'clock. And we had like 5 or 6 stacked already, which was fantastic. Right. But that's not going to be a benefit anymore.
What'll be interesting about this to see is how they do handle that. Because like, sure, if you book 7 days in advance and everything like that, there'll probably be a lot of options. But it might be that people off-site, by the time you get to that 3 day in advance, the only passes that are left are in the evening. And now you got to book three evening passes. If they tell you, well, if you can't get another one until you've used one, now all of a sudden, well, all you're getting is three. I'll be curious to see how it actually works. Based on what we know, you're going to get the most use out of it if you start using it early, as opposed to being able to stack, which is something that I also always did, which was essentially like I wasn't really all that worried about getting fast passes for the morning. I would try to get fast passes for late afternoon and evening, spend the whole day gathering them basically. And then at the end of the day, come to the park and you'd have five or six rides that you could ride, especially at Magic Kingdom. That's what we would do.
Yeah, absolutely.
That to me is kind of still a we'll see, because I'm curious to see how that goes. I mean, there's a lot of things to be curious about how this goes, because like, do the Prime rides run out early like they used to with FastPass Plus that you used to?
Are they going to have additional drops throughout the day like they did with FastPass? FastPass, like people had figured out when the drops were.
Are you going to have to pay for the pass and then log on and see all the rides are gone after yeah. you've paid? So there's still a lot of questions on this. I think overall, I like it.
Yep.
This is something that I've sent letters to Disney about, that Genie Plus was an inferior product to FastPass Plus mm-hmm. in this way, that I go into the park and I have a lunch reservation and now I've been given a time that's during my lunch reservation on the other side of the park. And so now I got to try to move that. And I find myself spending the whole day trying to move my Genie Plus reservations around so that it fits to what my plans are. I much prefer the idea. And I think the timing on this is good. I think doing it 7 days in advance, there's no need to do it way, way in advance. You do it seven yeah. days in advance, plus the length of your trip.
I like the 7 days, because before it was 60 and 30. And there's two things that I like about this. One, you're ready for your trip 7 days out, right? So you're ready to have your trip. And even 3 days for those people staying off site, you're ready for your trip. You're thinking about your trip. You're packing for your trip. You're in that mindset.
Right.
60 days out, you're not. 60 days out, you're not. Like, you're just not. It's just hard. And then, you know, I remember just modifying, like throughout those 2 months, just modifying. This is the reason why I really like it, because the loophole with the old system was that you have, if you do a cash resort reservation, you could change, you could cancel your resort reservation and get your deposit back for 5 days in advance. That's, I believe it's still 5 days in advance. I don't think it's changed. My guess is that they will probably be changing it to 7 days.
So in the new year, it's going to 8 days.
It's going to 8 days. Yeah, I knew it. I figured since I don't book cash, or when I book cash, I'm not canceling. Yeah. So I figured that was in the plan. So in the new year, they're making it 8 days. So that makes sense, because that was the big loophole. And people would talk about it. I mean, people made videos about it and were not ashamed of it. Like, all you have to do is you have to put a deposit. But if you get a deposit for, let's say, an All-Star, you could do for $150 and then you got that money back, but you would cancel it 30 days and then you had those fast passes. So many people did that. Then people who really were truly staying off site and didn't know and were, or just honest. So I think that's fantastic. So that is another reason why I like the 7 days, is that loophole is gone, at least in the new year.
And the top rides would always run out at 60 days, just about.
Yeah.
But that shouldn't be as big a problem, because now people are paying for it. Do you have as many people that are paying for it as you did when it was free? I don't think you do. I don't know.
And the ones that were paying, you think about the ones that would, you know, Avatar Flight of Passage was the big one, right? That was the one that would always, when FastPass was around. Well, that's an individual or single pass now. That's not on Genie Plus. So that one was one that would go. And the ones that would go, you know, Slinky Dog Dash, I think, is probably one that will go fast. That would be my pick. But the tier one, and I think Hollywood Studios has the best tiers. Magic Kingdom has a lot to choose from. Epcot, the tier two are pretty much crap. Like, they're walk-ons.
Epcot's rough, because with Test Track closed, they only have three things listed in the first tier. And one of them, Soarin', which, like, I know it does build, it builds weights during the day, but we've discovered that basically you go like after 7 p.m. to Soarin' and you walk on.
Yeah.
So we never need a fast pass for Soarin'. When we spend a lot of time in Epcot, usually we just know, okay, you're going to do Soarin' one day at the end of the day and you're going to walk on and you're going to be good. So that really leaves Ratatouille and Frozen. I mean, some people will take Soarin', but those are going to be the two big targets.
Well, so here's another thing. Meet and greets, as of right now, are part of Genie Plus. However, they're not part of this pre-booking process. So they're not listed as options. So they are currently listed and they have the capacity. Like, there's set up the Meet Mickey. They have the setup for the Lightning Lane. So I do think they will be a part of the multi-pass, but they're not part of the pre-booking. If you have, and honestly, when Ryder was younger and he wasn't tall enough for a lot of things, we would get like a lot of our fast passes were for the meet and greets. So I could see people changing them to that stuff. And, you know, we have that new thing in Epcot where there are meet and greets for the three characters or Mickey and friends. You know, there are some things that maybe aren't listed, but they will probably be available on site. So that's another thing to kind of think of. Because there's no Mickey Mouse, there's no princesses, there's not, none of those are on there. Yeah. So they don't have any character meet and greets. So that's something just to realize.
But another big thing I like about this is I know at minimum what I'm going to get for my money. And yeah, that's one thing that always kind of bothered me. And again, the one exception to that is, am I going to be able to like pick my rides first and then pay? Or am I going to have to pay and then see what's available? But as long as I can like, as long as I can mostly get what I want from a list and pick what I want and when I want it, then I know going in, I got those three rides. Yeah, right. I paid $25 or whatever it is, but I know I got those three rides.
Yeah.
I've used Genie Plus and I've used Genie Plus where I've gotten really good out of it. And I've gotten, you know, five or six rides and I've been very satisfied with, I got my money's worth. And there was one time we did it at Epcot and we got one ride out of it.
Yep.
Just because of the way things worked. We ended up, Ratatouille. And then we only got after that, we got Spaceship Earth and things with no, that had no weights just because the way we did it. Well, that was a waste of $20, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Each. I'm feeling a lot better. I hope what they're going to do is you're going to go in, you're going to make your selections, and then you're going to check out.
Right.
I'm hoping that's how it's going to work so that you know what you're getting. Yeah, okay, I don't know what else I'm going to get, but I know I got Magic Kingdom. I know I got Tiana's and I got Haunted Mansion and I got Pirates of the Caribbean, whatever three it is. That's what I spent my $25 on. If I get more, okay, but at least I got that.
Right. And honestly, I almost hope with this new system, they get rid of the virtual queues altogether. There's no need to have virtual queues at this point. Maybe Tiana's because it's still going to be technically new, but I don't think anybody's going to Disney World for Tiana's. There's no need for these virtual queues anymore.
I agree. It's been too long.
It's been too long. I mean, Tron is the most recent attraction and it's been over a year and a half at this point. I think they need to get rid of them. Yeah, we wrote it for the first time last June. It's time to get rid of them. Animal Kingdom, even though there's not that much to choose from Animal Kingdom, because there's no tiers, you've got some pretty good selections. Now, Ryder doesn't like Kilimanjaro Safari, but I know that's a big popular one. Yeah, he doesn't like it. He'd rather go to Jungle Cruise, to be honest. But this trip, we're actually doing the Wild Africa Trek. That's pretty much the Kilimanjaro Safari. That's not something we would do, but that is an option. And then you have Dinosaur, you have Expedition Everest, you have Navi River Journey. Navi River Journey, I have never done a regular standby. It's not worth it. But if you have a Lightning Lane, or it's great for a Lightning Lane. It's a nice ride, air conditioning. You see the lady with the big feet? You know, it's fine. I can't unsee it. I can't unsee the big toe. Now everybody will it'll haunt you. It'll haunt you.
No, I know she has. I know she has big feet.
Yeah. It's a nice ride, but I would never do a standby ride, a line for it. But so they have some really great selections. Now there's not. And then you have probably the Mickey and Minnie, meet Mickey and Minnie. It's a great place to, you can get both characters. I would think will probably be an option. So there's some good selections. And especially for us, where we're doing the Wild Africa Trek and it's going to be 3 hours long. And then we have, and then that park only, it's open till 6 that night. So we don't have that much time in the park. So we will definitely be doing it that day. I was surprised that Tower of Terror was a tier two, thrilled that it is, because it makes Hollywood Studios actually's tiers are pretty good. Somebody was saying you don't need a Lightning Lane for Disney Junior Play Dance. Yes, you don't need it to get in, but I will say you get better seating if you have the Lightning Lane, because you're let in first. And my son loves to be in the front and my husband loves to sit in one of the chairs in the back. The only way you can kind of guarantee both is if you do have a Lightning Lane. So that one, you may not need it to get in, but you do get prime seating. And if you are someone with just wants a regular seat and being in his 50s, it's not something he wants to be sitting on the floor for.
No, yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, even me, I'm turning 48 next month and it's hard to get up after 15 minutes. So there are some things, but it's actually pretty good. You know, Toy Story Mania is a tier two. So I thought the tiers at Hollywood Studios were fair.
No, the one place I think it stinks is Epcot.
There's
just not enough in the tier two to be like, oh, these other two are going to be worth it.
Yeah.
You know,
like Spaceship Earth, especially when we go, there's no wait. We just walk on anyway.
Yeah. It's kind of similar to Soarin'. You go later in the day. I mean, we've really taken to doing that at Epcot. Is a lot of the front of Epcot, you go after 6 o'clock, you can just hit everything. And then plus we got the extra magic hours in the evening too, that can cover a lot with that park. So I don't think I would buy it for Epcot. Just one more comment on this. My point for a long time has been, you're charging us for an inferior product. Now we're getting the good product that you're charging us for. So, you know, they probably didn't want to do it right from the beginning. And I'm sure they didn't think it was an inferior product at the time, but I think they've realized from surveying people that people liked how FastPass Plus worked, that they could make their choices, and at least good on them for admitting it.
It's typical Disney of going from one extreme to the other. People would complain like, oh God, I have to make dinner reservations and I have to pick the rides I want to ride 60 days in advance. Valid point. So then they went to the other extreme, you know, where it's
7 a.m.
which is 7 a.m. the day of. They do that. Like, okay, well, you don't like that. Not, well, a week is good. You know, they go from one extreme to the other. It's the same thing we're kind of seeing with DAS, where before they were approving everybody, and now they've made it really strict with eliminating people that are actually disabled, and it's one extreme to the other. But I think that this is a really good compromise. I do want to add that it does include the Disney World Swan Dolphin Swan Reserve, as well as Shades of Green. So they are included in that Disney Resorts, which I think is fantastic. Now, here is the con, and it's a big con. It doesn't affect you or I. You're kind of close because you're on the border. If you are an international guest, you will not be able to purchase Lightning Lane Multipass or Single Pass prior to arriving in the U.S. So if you are staying, I have a friend, the friend that told me about DVC lives in Canada. She will not be able to do, even though she will be staying at DVC and staying at Beach Club because that's their home resort, they can't book until they are in the U.S. That eliminates, especially the first 3 days, because now the first 3 days they land, as soon as they get into U.S. airspace, I would imagine a lot of people will probably be trying to get Wi-Fi on the plane once they hit U.S. airspace. You can do it, but those first three park days are not going to be a benefit because everybody else has already booked them. Maybe the fourth day, fifth day, you'll have a little bit of an advantage, but everybody that are staying on site, they've already booked. So that's a big disadvantage. We have a lot of people in our community group that live in Canada. I've had somebody comment on my video being that they live in UK, and UK is a big Disney contingency there. Yep. And this is what I'm hearing, that there's legal restrictions, and that's the reason why. I don't know why, and I'm sure there's probably restrictions.
I just wonder if, like, have you had a travel agent in the US, why the travel agent wouldn't be able to book it for you?
I don't know. I would think that maybe that if it's something that's legal restrictions and they need to do country by country, that hopefully it's something that they'll address country by country, and they just wanted to get it off the ground. But right now, if you are an international guest, you can purchase it, but you have to wait until you're on U.S. soil. So, I mean, for international guests, there's really no benefit to staying on site, to be honest, which is disappointing.
Hey, this is Peter. I'm breaking into the show real quick because it was announced the day after we recorded this that Canadian citizens will have access to My Disney Experience and be able to make reservations through the Lightning Lane Multipass and Lightning Lane Single Pass systems. If you're from another country other than Canada, what Shannon and I just talked about still applies. But if you're from Canada, you will be able to book ahead of time at the 7 day mark before your reservation. Now back to our show.
This one now does affect me, and we chatted a little bit, but I didn't want to say too much before we recorded. Lightning Lane Multipass and Lightning Lane Single Pass and their purchasing workflows will go into effect on July 24th. So the Genie Plus service and individual Lightning Lanes will remain available until then. So my trip starts, we get there July 21st, but our first two park days are the 22nd and 23rd. So we'll be using Genie Plus on the 22nd and 23rd. So if you are already at Disney World on July 24th, you will be able to book for the remainder of your stay beginning on July 24th, but not before. We will be using it for the 24th, 25th, and 26th.
So for some reason, they've decided to make it so that everybody 3 days forward, everybody 7 days forward, everybody 14 days forward are all going to be trying to book that one morning.
They learn nothing from park pass reservations on June 22nd, 2020. Yeah, 2020. I think that was the date, June 22nd. Yeah. I waited 8 hours in a queue, 8 hours. And that was after getting kicked off several times. And then finally was getting in the queue. Right. I still waited 8 hours to make our park pass reservations because no one thought. So you have everybody that's on site. So anybody that's on site July 24th, getting, and then mind you, it's all going to start at 7 a.m. So you're going to have the virtual queues. So I'll be, that's our Magic Kingdom day. So we have two virtual queues right now. And then you have, I'll have to book for the next 3 days and at no advantage of staying on site. Now, the good thing for us as opposed to an international guest is that everybody is kind of in the same boat. So the pool will be the same. So right. I'll be competing against everybody at the same time. It's not like I'm getting late. I'm just getting there at the same time. Let's take bets. What's the likelihood it's going to crash? I mean, it crashed on the 50th anniversary, and that was just people that were in the park.
I don't know what the odds would be. No matter how bad the odds are, I would probably still bet in favor of it crashing.
Well, because then you have not only the people that are traveling. So July 24th, anybody that arrives on July 31st or before can go in now and book their pre. So you have all of those people.
So you have all of those people doing it. You have then, all the people that are trying to get their 3 day.
Right. And then you have all the people that just want to see about it, that just want to look at it and see what it's about and see what it's like. That's what happened a lot of times because I know a lot of people got on the system on the website to make park pass reservations just to see because they were curious. Yeah. And, you know, so I think that's also going to happen. So, yeah, I'm predicting July 24th to be very stressful. And
I don't get why they do this because, like, they know enough, like, for instance, they just had the Oogie Boogie Bash go on sale and they were like, okay, we're going to have day one is going to be Imagine Key pass holders. And then day two is going to be all the other pass holders. And then day three is going to be the general public. Why don't you just at least stage it a little bit?
Yeah. Stage it a little bit.
It's crazy to me to be like, okay, let's stage it by 7 days in advance of the 21st. We're going to allow only the people with on-site reservations to book.
My thought is that because it's through, because I don't think you can do this online. It has to be through My Disney Experience, right?
Yes, it's going to be through My Disney Experience. I mean,
so I think that's the reason why.
Yeah, my guess is the software is changing and they probably can't change the software until they get rid of Genie Plus. So the only way to transition it is this way. But that basically means that overnight that night, they're going to be uploading this new software, which has never been tested on a large scale.
Yeah.
So yeah, 50 to 1 in favor of it not working. When you said it was starting while you were there, I was like, oh, poor
shit. No, and then I'm not excited that it's starting. I'm excited that this is changing. I'm not excited that it's starting while I'm there. And I guess from a YouTube standpoint and a content creator, it's, you know, cool that I'll be able to be there and test it out. But let's be honest, by the time I get my video up, I'm still editing my video from my March cruise. By the time, I mean, I will try and get stuff up quickly. Because it's going to change because obviously we're not pre-booking. But even if they couldn't do it, like have a way to on-site guests or something to be able to do it. I guess it's all through My Disney Experience because the old system, FastPass, it could be done on My Disney Experience or on their website. And it doesn't look like this is something. And that was the one thing I did like about FastPass that I do miss is that you could go because I always felt it was easier to do it on your computer.
I don't know. Will you be able to do it on the computer? I guess not, because Genie Plus you couldn't do from your computer, right? It
had
from MDA. I think you're probably right, but it's quite possible you'll still be able to do it on your computer because you can do dining reservations on your computer. So maybe they'll have this so it's able to do on the computer. I don't know.
I don't think you'll be able to do it on the computer because I think that also has. I think if you could do it on your computer, then you probably would have been able to do international guests.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it has to do with the software and being on an app. July 24th, I think, is going to be a blank show. We're family. So we're family rated. So we can't say anything, but it's just, it's going to be a mess.
So the other thing to point out is at Disneyland. They are changing the name, but they are, as of right now, not changing the system. So the system there will basically be the same as Genie Plus, which is, I mean, you can buy it in advance, but you can't book in advance. So it's going to be same day booking.
Yeah.
For which... now, anyways. My guess is, it seems like a lot of times Disneyland, with all these IT things, Disneyland lags behind Disney World. And I always wonder if that's purposeful. So
that, yeah, work out the kinks.
They let Walt Disney World fix the mess. I get why they're not doing it out there, because it is more of a locals park. It's a lot more of people just showing up for the day, but they still have to have park pass reservations out there. They still have hotels out there. So they should at least allow the hotel people out there to book in advance. You should do things to differentiate your on-site customers that are paying, you know, three times the hotel price of someone off-site just to stay on Disney property.
I would like to see the 7 days for our Disney on-site guests. I mean, there's only three resorts. And then 3 days, like, let's say they want to keep it for the locals. Then then do 3 days for, like, Good Neighbor hotels. So then there's a difference, because there's a lot of Good Neighbor hotels there. And those are definitely more expensive, too, than if you went to, like, One Best Western that's, like, right across the street. That's at probably a better location than, you know, Pixar Place or Pixar, whatever it's called. Some of the Best Westerns are, you know, better locations. So they're pricey than if you went to, like, a Best Western, you know, 5 miles away. I think that would be good. Hopefully that's something that they will implement. Honestly, if I were going out to Disneyland, that would be just because that's an expensive trip for us.
Right.
But I mean, we've pretty much exhausted this topic. I kind of felt like that was going to be the case, but I think this is a topic that I think people are interested in. So hopefully they don't mind that we're going a little long on this one. But let us know what you think. We have our DVC Points community on Facebook. So definitely tell us what you think, the pros or the cons. I did see on Instagram, Disney Parks did a post, you know, when they did a post regarding this, and it was pretty negative. But most of the negativity was that we're charging for this. So, I'm not a Disney apologist by any means, if you can hear that. But I will say, like, FastPass is gone. Free FastPass, we knew that it was going to be going away. And I am planning, we're going to Universal probably, I mentioned Labor Day weekend, we're planning on doing that. And we're looking at where we're going to stay. And I priced out, like, a cheap hotel, you know, a Hilton, like $100 a night, but priced out one day of a three, just one day. And one day was going to be $500 for the Express Pass, one day. Right. We can purchase, stay on site at the deluxe resort, and we get it. Now, yes, they do have the deluxe resorts, but there's only three resorts. So, you know, Disney was the last one to start charging for Express Pass or getting these types of things. Their business. Yeah.
I mean, we don't like it, but it's not going away. It's Genie Plus financially was very successful for them.
Right.
They're not going to go, oh, let's go back to free.
Yeah.
There's no way that's going to happen. The best we can hope for is give us a little better system that we can actually
plan
at least a little in advance and have a better idea what we're going to what we're
going
to be
doing. Can't
blame
a business for wanting to make money. That's what I would say. I am hopeful that we will like this. I am not hopeful for my trip, at least that first day. Let's just hope that I get that's the night of the express hours or the deluxe hours.
Yeah, honestly, I was going to say, I think maybe you're too close and you can't, but I think I would almost change that to a day that I don't want Genie Plus.
Well, we my husband and I talked about that. We actually talked about that this morning, but we don't park hop. We only park hop one day in the last day to kind of do anything that we haven't done. So we go Monday through Friday. I've mentioned this before. We have the Pixie Dust Pass, so we only could go during the weekday. So we pick a park each day and we don't park hop because it's not fun for us because it's just too stressful. So the only time we do park hop is maybe the last day and we'll go to two parks. But that's the night of the extra evening hours for deluxe guests. And those 2 hours from 9 to 11 are amazing. Awesome. Yeah. Yes. At Magic Kingdom, it's amazing. So especially in the summertime, because they're open so late, so the hours are even, you get more done. We thought about it, but it really doesn't. It would cause more stress to have to switch parks and be more tired. And then we have to worry about parking because that is the one day we don't drive to the parks for obvious reasons. So we'd have to, it just doesn't make sense for us. You know, we're going to stick to our plan. Now, I did hear, and this isn't a story, but Tiana's is not listed on the list for evening hours. So it doesn't open officially. We're recording this on Thursday night. It officially opens tomorrow. I'm waiting to see next week if it's open during evening hours, because as of right now, it's not listed on the evening hours, the extra evening hours. I'm going to be watching that in the next couple of weeks.
It eventually will, but it might just be because they know they still have a lot of bugs to work out.
Yeah. I hope in a month. I hope when we go, because that's our plan is I don't like riding that first thing because I get wet. Right. And then I don't look good in my photos. That's usually one of our last rides. And then usually at the night, it's a great time to ride because usually there's not a long wait, at least before when it was Splash Mountain. But anyway, so more to come on that. So our next one is something we talked a lot about back in November, and that is that Jollywood Nights is returning. I was 50-50 on it, but it is returning, and that a Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party dates have been announced. So after its problems with kickoff last year, Jollywood Nights hard ticket event at Disney's Hollywood Studios returns this year with minor tweaks. A total of 13 nights will be available for Jollywood Nights from November 9th to December 21st. And it's also been extended to 5 hours instead of 4, which was a big complaint. And the virtual queue for Rise of the Resistance has been dropped. And that was a big thing because nobody was doing the virtual queue. But much of the event will remain the same. The event pricing is $159 to $179. There's also going to be an ice show. We don't have it in our notes, but there's going to be an ice show. And I'm personally, I'm one curious how they're going to do an ice show because yes, it's wintertime or it's the fall, but it's still Florida and there's some hot days. So there's supposed to be some sort of ice show. I'm assuming they're going to be skating on like fake ice or that's kind of what I think, but that's hard to skate on. My son plays hockey and I learned to skate recently and it's hard to skate on, but that's my thought. And then DVC members and AP holders can get $10 off. And then the Christmas party has 25 select nights from November 8th to December 20th. And prices range from $169 to $219. So see our show notes for specifics about exact dates for these events, and tickets will go on sale July 2nd to resort guests and July 10th for general purchase. $10 DVC discount applies for some of the early dates. Are you going back to Jollywood Nights?
Well, we're not going this year. You know, I'm not a big fan of a hard ticket event.
Yeah.
We had an okay time at that. The one thing I did like about it was that park. I don't care that much about the characters. I did like the shows for the most part. But what I really liked about it was getting on some of the rides without waiting. I mean, we did the virtual queue for Rise. We literally walked on the ride. There were, I think it was the three of us and there were two other people were the only ones going on the ride when we went on it. To walk on Rise of the Resistance, that alone to me, like I always pay for Rise of the Resistance. I always pay for that. So that's $25 discount right there versus buying a single Lightning Lane. You know, likewise, it's another park that I often will use Genie Plus, and now I don't spend that on Genie Plus. So I might do that again. No, it's not going to happen this year because we're not going. I would consider doing Jollywood Nights again. I would probably just do the Nightmare Before Christmas show. I would probably skip the other show, even though I did like it. My main problem was that it went too fast.
Yep.
And the food, getting food was extremely difficult. But we went to the very first one. So there was literally 8,000 vloggers there trying to get pictures of food. So it didn't. You know, I don't know if that had anything to do with it. I heard that got better. So I would do it again. Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, I've never been that impressed with. People love it and good for them, but I'm not sure at almost $200 a person, I don't think that would be high on my priority list anytime soon.
Yeah, I think for us, we're actually considering it. Now, our passes, our annual passes are expiring November 5th. We're not renewing. So if we did, it would be a trip just to go to this or the Christmas party. And Ryder's at an age, he's almost 9, where these things are still fun for him. And I know that's ending. So I know we haven't been to the Christmas party in a couple of years. Jollywood Nights, we didn't have the worst time until the end, right? Until that issue that happened at the character. That was a really disappointing way to end our night and our trip. But we actually had a pretty good night and was able to get a lot done. And because we had gone before, I would actually skip the two shows that we saw. I wasn't so impressed with the one with Kermit the Frog. It was nice. It was fun. And the other one, the Nightmare Before Christmas one, I thought was fantastic, but we saw it, you know, unless Ryder really wanted to see it. But I think Ryder would probably want to go on rides. So we're considering it. And I heard the changes last year, the last couple ones, people just loved. People loved it. The people that went had a really good time. I'm very hopeful. I would just say if you're going, don't go to the first one. And that goes to any party, don't go to the first one because they do invite PR, they do invite media, and they don't count that into the total, especially for this party. You know, the Christmas party is one thing. It's been around for so long, and that's such a big park. Hollywood Studios is so much smaller that when you have 100, 200 vloggers or content creators that are cutting the lines, it's going to really affect the rest, you know, the rest of the crowd experience, a guest experience. I would just say, don't go to the first, first one, work out the kinks.
The only other thing I would say about it, and I guess we'll have to see how it actually happens, but one thing I think they did poorly, and it seems like they're continuing to do this, is it's not a very big park to begin with. And essentially everything was in the front of the park. There was nothing in Star Wars Land. There was nothing in Toy Story Land. There was, you know, there was nothing really in the Muppets area there and where Star Tours is. It was all in the main Echo Lake, Sunset Boulevard.
They moved the Latin party over to the courtyard. So that I think is a good move because that was before where they had that DJ by himself with no lights. It was a great space and they had like really, they had the characters, but they weren't under, they were out in the elements. So they moved the party there, which I thought was a really smart idea. That's why I said, don't go to the first one. Let the kinks get worked out. You can better plan after you've let the vloggers spend their money and let you know where everything is. Because that was the other thing is they don't release where everything is. So you, the first night, if you're going, you're going blind. You can't plan because you don't know, you know, I understand trying to save everything for anticipation, but it also doesn't allow your guests to plan. And when you only have 4 hours, now five, let somebody else do the work for you so that you can better prioritize your night.
But I would definitely agree with that. I mean, we didn't have that option to pick a different.
Yeah, neither did we.
When we were there, but after doing it, I certainly wouldn't recommend the first one.
Yeah.
Especially the first one ever.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad I got a lot of views and I got a lot of subscribers out of it. You know, that just shows you that negative videos can really boost your ratings. It was not the great way to end our trip because that was a really great trip and it was a really crappy way to end it. So that's it on that. Let us know if you're going. Reach out to us in my DVC Points community tech group and let us know if you are planning to go to either of these two events.
Those on sale dates are beginning of July. Check our show notes for when that is. Last story, I'm going to keep this pretty quick, but it's direct incentives for DVC direct sales. Current sales discounts are remaining similar for the currently considered on-sale resorts. Riviera Aulani and the Fort Wilderness Cabins currently start at $225 per point, and there's a discount of $13 per point for new members starting at 150 points, and $17 per point for existing members starting at 100 points. And then in addition, there's cash welcome home discounts that vary based on the number of points purchased. So you have to check out our link. That's all linked to dvcnews.com. And the villas at Disneyland Hotel have similar price structure, but they start at $239 a point instead of $225. The big news out of here is Disney had a lot of success selling Old Key West points recently with some really deep discounted direct pricing. And so they've added some additional discounts for some of the other sold out resorts. Saratoga Springs currently is priced at $205 a point, but direct buyers can save up to $60 per point. And even at 200 point contract, you get a discount of about $40. So you're paying $165 per point for Saratoga Springs. Direct Animal Kingdom is full priced at $210, but similarly, 200 point contract will drop you down to $175 a point. So that's a $35 discount. And Bay Lake Tower has the largest drop, but it also starts at $275. So if you were to buy a 200 point contract, you would get $45 off a point, and that brings it down to $230 a point. So all three of those resorts are having some sales right now. I do have to say, even with these big discounts, it's still cheaper to buy resale.
Yeah. I actually got a notice the other day for, I think, Saratoga, and it was like $92 a point.
Yeah, resale, I don't want to say it's down, but like compared to, say, even the beginning of the year, resale prices are a little bit down. So now is actually a pretty good time. Disney hasn't been actively using right of first refusal for like a year and a half now. And I think it's finally starting to soften some of the prices. Saratoga is under 100 right now, and Animal Kingdom is down in that in similar range, maybe 110. And I think Bay Lake is probably going for like 140, 150. So you're still looking at a big savings versus what Disney's offering you here. But, you know, we've said it before, if you really want that member perks, you use those annual passes. So you want that discounted annual pass. It can make sense to buy 150 points direct to just have that, the number of discounts and the perks and everything like that. I would always tell people just buy that minimum number from Disney, and then any more points you want from that, buy resale. I still think it makes a lot of sense, even with the newer resorts coming online, that you can't necessarily stay at all those resorts. When you're buying resale, buy one of the resorts that you can go to almost any of them. And then you can always rent out your points and swap into one of those other resorts. I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And we probably will see some good discounts for, if you are buying one of the new resorts, we'll probably see some new good discounts for the cabins in the near future. I think that's it. Like I said, we had one really big story and we had to talk. So this was, I think this might be our longest episode. As I did mention, I am headed there in just a little over 3 weeks. And we'll probably have at least one or two episodes before then, depending on what new story. But before we leave, we want to give a shout out to our three sponsors, which are DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, and Monera Financial, for their continued support of the My DVC Points platform. So with that, I will say, see you real soon, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.